This is part two of a two-part series. Besides direct injections, unethical clinics and imminent nuclear weapons tests and attacks would provide opportunities for further observations of irradiated citizens, unaware of the danger they were put in by the United States medical and military organizations they put their trust in. The effects of radiation poisoning were known by 1945. But what about radiation exposure to fetuses? From September 1945 until May of 1947, at Vanderbilt University Hospital Prenatal Clinic, any pregnant woman to walk through the door was given a cup with a fizzy soft drink. Some women were told the drink had vitamins in it. Some were just told it was good for them. 829 women were given the drink, which was infused to varying degrees with radioactive iron, infecting the mother immediately and transferred through the placenta to the fetus about an hour later. William Darby later stated to reporters that they had informed the women of the drink contents. Later still, when asked again if the pregnant women knew they were drinking radioactive iron, Darby said, quote, "We did not decide that we would not inform. We simply felt it was unnecessary." End quote. No woman who was given the drink later recalled being told by their doctor anything about radiation, just that they should drink it. Darby also admitted that, quote, "the radioactive iron had no therapeutic purpose, and he didn't know much about radiobiology." End quote. Paul Hahn, who also administered radioactive iron to pregnant women and did know about radiobiology, wrote down of the drink they gave to 829 pregnant women that, quote, "radioactive iron, regardless of the amount of activity contained, is, to my knowledge, of no value whatsoever in therapy." End quote. Carolyn Busey, a 9-year-old girl whose mom had been given radioactive iron, developed cancer, became paralyzed, and her body withered away until she went into a coma and died 2 years later. Three other children who had received radioactive iron while in utero developed fatal cancers, while there were no incidences of childhood cancer from a similarly sized control group of pregnant mothers not given radioactive iron. 1 to 2 rads of radiation can raise the likelihood of childhood cancer and leukemia by 50%. Paul Hahn estimated the fetuses received between 5 and 15 rad through the drink given to their mothers. At the Fernald State School in Massachusetts, abandoned children and orphans were taken by the Science Club, a committee put together by MIT researchers to gather test subjects on field trips to the beach, baseball games, and parties, and served special oatmeal. This oatmeal, that was given to 74 boys from the Fernal home during the experiment, contained radioactive iron and calcium, and the boys had to undergo x-rays, blood tests, and collect their urine and stool samples to send back to MIT. The radioactive iron used in this experiment was obtained through the Atomic Energy Commission. At the same time, the Vanderbilt Fetal and Fernald Abandoned Child Studies with radioactive iron were begun, in late 1945, the first nuclear weapon developed in the United States was ready to be tested. Fallout, the irradiated soil and debris that would rain down after a nuclear blast, was not seriously considered until a few months before the bomb was set to be detonated, at which point two scientists drove around the desert in New Mexico at random and discovered Aboriginal Indians and ranches located near their nuclear testing site. No evacuations happened, but an evacuation plan was put together, and in the event the evacuation was deemed necessary, several dozen troops and some military vehicles were on standby. Heimer Friedel was located in Albuquerque, 250 miles away from the blast site, in case the bomb was much bigger than estimated and all the scientists observing the bomb from 9 miles back were incinerated. At 5:29 a.m. on July 16, 1945, a nuclear bomb was detonated in the desert southwest of Socorro, New Mexico. The fallout from the Trinity test ended up spreading much further than even the maximum projections. Radioactive particles were found 1,100 miles away from the New Mexico test site in a river in Indiana. Following the successful deployment of U.S. nuclear weapons on Japan, Bill Griffin, a Marine, was occasionally sent out to patrol Nagasaki after it had been obliterated by the nuclear warhead, Fat Man. Griffin said of his patrol, quote, "I don't know what the purpose of it was. There were no people. All the people had perished. There were no birds, no wildlife, no crickets, no nothing. It's hard to explain what complete silence is like. You have to experience it." End quote. Bill Griffin later suffered from his skin flaking off and his hair and teeth falling out. Two of his grandsons were born with birth defects. Griffin considers himself and fellow soldiers ordered into Hiroshima and Nagasaki, quote, "the first issue of guinea pigs," end quote. In Operation Crossroads, two nuclear warheads were tested on the Bikini Atoll and 95 abandoned ships in the surrounding waters, irreparably damaging coral reefs and marine environments, as well as the entire surface of the atoll and irradiating the surrounding area. Dangerous radiation is still present 70 years later. After the nuclear explosions, military divers were sent to investigate the sunken ships around the atoll and collect samples that the military could test for radiation. A tenth of a rentgen was the daily tolerance for radiation that would cause no permanent damage, as defined in 1934 by a U.S. advisory committee. The divers at Bikini Atoll were given Geiger counters to measure how much radiation they were receiving. Boley Caldwell III, one of 386 radiation safety monitors, said, quote, "It was often a matter of just several minutes before you got above a tenth of a rentgen," end quote. Harvey Glenn, another radiation monitor, remembers of the Geiger counter, quote, "They checked our clothing, and that thing was going mad. Then we stuck our bare hands underneath, and it did go crazy," end quote. Leslie Groves, the director of the Manhattan Project and well informed on the devastating effects radiation had on humans, testified to the Senate that, quote, "The radioactive casualty can be of several classes. He can have enough so that he will be killed instantly. He can have a smaller amount, which will cause him to die rather soon, and, as I understand it from the doctors, without undue suffering. In fact, they say it is a very pleasant way to die. Then we get down below that to the man who is injured slightly, and he may take some time to heal, but he can be healed. Anyone who is working with such materials just takes a vacation away from the material, and in due course of time, he is perfectly all right again." End quote. On May 30, 1946, Lewis Slotin accidentally started a nuclear reaction he was researching in a full room. Everyone there received large doses of radiation. Over the next 9 days, Slotin, who had received twice the lethal amount of radiation, developed ulcers on his tongue, mouth, and throat, had uncontrollable diarrhea, and his hands swelled so much that the tissues couldn't transfer blood and began to die. His organs failed, and 9 days after being exposed to lethal radiation, Slotin died. It was not a, quote, "pleasant way to die," end quote. Alvin Graves, who received 100 rentgens, 12% of what Slotin had received, lost all his hair, felt nauseous, vomited, developed a fever and a rash, stayed in bed 16 hours a day, and temporarily lost the ability to produce sperm. He recovered over the next 12 years before dying of radiation exposure complications. Alan Klein, who received 60 Rentgens from the accident, lost all his hair, suffered from fatigue, his eyes watered continually, and his mind wandered constantly. When Leslie Groves was asked if there was residual radiation from the bombs in Japan, Groves replied, quote, "There is none. That is a very positive none," end quote. Meanwhile, in Japan, at 1 mile away from the blast site in Hiroshima, far enough not to be vaporized instantly, but close enough to be exposed to massive radiation toxicity, thousands of Japanese civilians were dosed with more radiation than Slotin had received. Radiation poisoning had been infecting Japanese civilians for months, causing hair loss, bleeding from the mouth, organ hemorrhage, ulcers, vomiting, fever, delirium, terminal coma, miscarriages, a slew of birth defects, organ failure, and death. It is estimated that 80,000 Japanese civilians died immediately at Hiroshima. And even more, 120,000 civilians died in the following days, weeks, months, and years as radiation doggedly destroyed them from the inside. American soldiers stationed near Hiroshima and Nagasaki, as well as those marching through the destroyed cities, suffered from rare cancers, blood disorders, heart attacks, lung diseases, and skin afflictions that they attributed to radiation exposure. Out in the American desert, to prove that the two Japanese bombs left no residual radiation, thousands of U.S. troops were regularly marched through the Nevada test site for 10 years, from 1951 until 1961. The Nevada test site is still, 70 years since the first nuclear test, one of the most radioactively contaminated sites in the United States, due to literally about 1,000 different nuclear weapons tests occurring there from 1951 to 1992. Residents near the tests were encouraged to watch the nuclear explosions from their porches and to wear radiation badges so their radiation exposure could be recorded. These nuclear tests were conducted, according to the Federal Civil Defense Administration, in order to, quote, "determine the effects of nuclear fallout on the American public," end quote. And they got plenty of data. Radioactive isotopes were discovered in children's teeth near the Nevada test site, and rates of childhood leukemia and solid cancers increased until 1963, when public pressure forced President Kennedy to sign the Limited Test Ban Treaty, which moved the nuclear testing underground. But accidents. Occasionally, the underground explosion would be too strong, and radioactive fallout would be deposited on top of Americans and Native Americans in California, Nevada, Idaho, Utah, Oregon, and Washington. It is an unethical embarrassment that the American scientific and military communities, with their vast resources and professional experience, could have, and chose not to, find a more humane and considerate way to satisfy their curiosity of nuclear science than lying to and endangering United States soldiers, orphans, pregnant mothers, their children, and their children's children.